right, if we can turn in our Bibles or our Bible apps to 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 1 through 13. Reading about Samuel anoints David. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul, since I've rejected him before being king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." And Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' And invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint for me him whom I declare to you." Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him trembling and said, "Do you come peaceably?" And he said, "Peaceably. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, he looked at Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed his before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Then Jesse called on Aminadab, and he made him pass before Jesse, before Samuel. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." And Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." Then Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all your sons here?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, but behold, he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and get him, for we will not sit down till he comes here." And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and beautiful eyes and was handsome. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for he is he." And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. And Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Let's say our scripture declaration together. Lord, we honor your word to us. May your truth become our heart's pursuit and our life's practice.
About David, a man after God's own heart, who is truly a man, not just simply an Old Testament saint or hero of any sort, but a man who had flaws of his own and was very human, and yet at the same time was an instrument chosen and used by God. I also want to just encourage you, and I believe you'll see it on the next slide, that there's a book that I'm going to be preaching from and speaking from, and encouraging you to join me if you would. Here, it's called David, A Man of Passion and Destiny, from Chuck Swindoll. It is highly rated. It is even free from the Libby app if you have one of those. And I even have a copy back there, but that's mine. I got to have it so I can preach out of it. You understand. So I encourage you, if you'd like to go deep, and it is a worthy character to go deep on, David is there, and I encourage you to be a part of that. In that book, he quotes a famous poet, and he has some very beautiful words. And it sums up the things that David does, and it's found on our next slide here. And as you see that, it says, "It's not revolutions and upheavals that clear the road to new and better days, but someone's soul inspired and ablaze." The truth of the matter is that when Israel needed a new start, when Israel needed somebody to turn them back to the God who had made them into a nation, he didn't send them things in the words or scriptures or anything like that. He sent a man to go and be a man after God's own heart and embody the principles and the power of God. And that man that he chose was David. Now, that was not who was chosen by Israel. Israel chose a king named Saul. And you can't know David's story without the intertwining of Saul's story. Saul was chosen not because of his holiness, but because of his outward stature and the things that he looked like on the external. But David was chosen by God because he was God's man, and he did not look on the outward, but he looked instead on who David was when no one was around. And so it is important for us to understand that ultimately we are called to be a change agent for God in our world, whether that's in our small communities, it's in our church body, it's in your family, it is in your extended family, it is in your community, your street. On and on we go in your workplace. You and I are called to be change agents as David was. And it is starting here when he has set us on fire to do the right things and to become people of God's goodness and God's grace. And so this is an important factor as we see. So let's keep moving and let's talk about David. And this is very, very interesting. You may or may not be able to see, but I kind of highlighted, because this is a great website that I talk about a lot on our Wednesday evenings. And basically, it's called gotquestions.org, and you just type in a question, and then it will answer something very pertinent to what you're saying. And if you look here, not the second, but the third paragraph down, at the very last line, I semi-highlighted it. It said, we're not told precisely how old David was whenever he was anointed. This passage of scripture that Paul just read for us from 1 Samuel chapter 16. But we know that he was just a boy, probably between 10 and 15 years of age. I'm going to say that again. When David was anointed, he was more than likely about 10 to 15 years of age. Now, how many of you find that to be kind of shocking how young he was? Any of y'all in here? I'm going to be honest with you. I've never really put a pencil to it except for doing the preparation for this message. And so we know that David became the king at about age 30. And we know that there was the situation with Goliath and all of these different things that were happening that we're going to be talking about over the next few weeks. We know that there was a time in between when he killed Goliath and when David became king that probably spread about 10 to 12 to maybe even as many as 14 years. So in 2 Samuel, the Bible tells us David was 30 years old when he became king. You start kind of working backwards from there, you realize exactly how young he was whenever he was anointed as the next king of Israel. Now, hold on just a second. We've got guys who are running for the presidency of the United States that are in their late 70s and in their early 80s. I'm not making this political, but they're on the whole other opposite end of the spectrum, right, from where David was. We understand, we almost feel more comfortable with the older guys because they've seen life, they've done the living. But can you imagine, I didn't even trust my kids to drive my good car when they were 15 years old, much less to run the nation, right? And so we understand that when Jesse didn't have David there in the house, there was a lot more going on than you might have expected. It wasn't just simply because, you know, he didn't think a lot of David, although that was clearly something that was happening. So let's keep moving to our next slide here. And as you see on this next slide, David was shockingly young, not an immediate fix of Israel's poor choice of Saul as their king. He remained king for about a decade plus after the time that David had been anointed. And so it was not an immediate fix. God, as always, was not there to fix it immediately, but he was there to fix it completely. Can I get an amen? I mean, you understand what I'm saying? In your life and mine, most of the time, what do we want? God, fix it immediately, right? Fix it now. But God is not like that. He is not like us. He instead says, I don't want to fix it immediately. I want to fix it completely. And so for most of us, we need that patience that says, God is never late. when it comes to his plan. He will reveal himself, but it might not be a fast fix. And David wasn't the fast fix, but he was God's man at God's time when God's people needed him desperately. And so God's plan was set in stone. It was set in motion, but it was not an immediate change. Let's keep moving to our next slide here. And this is what you can see, something that you need to understand. We cannot miss this. Before God does something through you, he usually begins by doing something in you first. He does something in you before he does something through you almost every single time. And even David, this young man after God's own heart, who is anointed as that next king of Israel, he still has growing to do. And that is a powerful lesson for most of us, because we think that, hey, if God wants to use me, then it's great. I'm available. And that is wonderful. That is very good. But ultimately, God wants to do something in you first, usually before he does something through you. And for most of us, we're good with giving him our hands. God, just tell me what to do. Show me what to do. Point me in the right direction. I'm going. And that's wonderful, but God using a man or a woman whose heart is fully devoted to God and then gives his hands, it is a dramatically different and more impactful thing. Do you understand what I'm saying? You've understood it. You've seen it. You've even experienced, I'm sure, where you know that God did something in you first, and then he did something through you, and it made a much bigger, much more eternal impact. Can I get an amen on that? Y'all hear what I'm saying? Okay, so this is what we understand. David was being chosen as the next king, but God was still at work within him before he let him be released to go and do something for him. And that still applies to this day. Let's keep moving here as we go on. And as we continue to look, this is so important. Let's look back at what we just read, and I want to call your attention to a couple of things from 1 Samuel 16. When they came, Samuel looked on Eliab and thought, surely the Lord anointed for him. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I've rejected him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the what? The heart. And every time that we talk about David, we're going to see that it is his heart. He is a man after God's own heart. And so over and over we see that his heart is what sets him apart and makes him different than all the others. Let's keep moving to our next slide that continues this passage. And Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord hasn't chosen these. And then he's like, hey, got another son? Because I kind of came with this instruction from the Lord that I was going to nominate and anoint one of your sons. You've had them all pass before me, and he keeps saying, not the one, not the one, not the one. Am I missing something here? That's what's going on. And finally, Jesse's like, well, yeah, I mean, I've got the youngest, but he's back with the sheep, and, you know, probably all of these are your best options right here. You know, these are the cream of the crop here. This is the smartest one. This is the most handsome one. This is the most athletic one. This is the best skill, you know, who can shoot a bow better than the others. I mean, on and on and on. And look, all right, look, all the kids are gone. All right, so we know that all of our kids are not created equal, right? Okay, this is true. Each one has their own talent. Now, I'm not saying that one is good and one is bad. I'm not saying that. But each one has their own talent. You know what? I need to clarify that. Each one has their own talent. It's not that one is good and one is bad. But what happened here to Jesse is what happens to us. We think we've got God's plan figured out. And what God could really use is somebody who acts like this, or sounds like that, or looks like this, or talks like that, has this skill set. And God said, none of that stuff matters nearly as much to me as being a man or a young woman after my own heart. So whatever you see or don't see in your kids does not matter, as long as it's not about their character. But when it comes to their character, help them to become a young man or a young woman after God's own heart, and then God can use them anywhere and everywhere. I don't care if they've got all these natural talents, abilities, skills, all of these different things. It is the inside that matters. And for most of us as parents, we're busy quantifying it and doing our own little checklist. And that's exactly what was happening when Samuel showed up and said, I'm supposed to anoint somebody. I've gone through all of the guys I see, and I keep getting no. Where's the last guy? Well, I didn't think it was important, but I guess I have one more son. He walks in, and what does God say? This is the one. Rise and anoint him, because this is truly the Lord's anointed. That's a powerful moment, isn't it? I mean, that is a powerful thing. And so for most of us, we don't do a really good job of distinguishing natural talents and God's hand. But we see it, and we know it when we see it. And so as we see here, this is what's happening. So let's keep moving here in our next slide. And I want to share this with you. This is the big idea. And I just quoted it straight from the scriptures. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. I'm going to talk more about this later. But the reason that I chose this is for many reasons. And actually, I even have a one to remember. Every time that we have a teaching series, I give you something that you can memorize that would be important for you to know as a person of faith. And this passage of scripture is also the one to remember and the big idea of this, the same thing today. So you can double up and double down. It is this: man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. Now, let me just stop and just say something. For most of us, we don't really fully grasp all that that means in two different directions. We understand man better when we see this. Man is only going to look on the outward appearance. But we also understand God better, that God is going to look on the heart and the character of the person. And so we understand a lot of things in our world a lot better if we remember this passage of scripture and memorize it and put it in our memory banks. It is just this: man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. Can you guys say that out loud with me? Ready? One more time. Here we go. Ready? One, two, three. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. From 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. Now let's keep moving, and let's share this. This is important. On our next slide, you'll see it here. These are three lessons that we learn, and this is important for us to know. David grew in God's sight before he was ever noticed by other people. David was already growing before anybody started to take notice. And I go back to your kids and my kids. You probably have had that same experience where your kids were becoming something, and maybe you saw it, but then you didn't realize how far advanced and going down that road that they were developing in their character and becoming young men and young women of faith, and God was doing something in them, and you're like, wow, I didn't even see it, but they're further along and further down the road than I thought they were. And so as we look at this passage of scripture, we understand David was growing in God's sight before anyone ever noticed. Now, let me tell you something. This is so vital. For most of us, if nobody notices, we don't value it the way that we should. If it's something that's done in private but never seen or praised or talked about in public, then we don't value it the same way that God does. But again, I say to you that man looks on the outward and God looks on the heart. And so David was developing his character and his heart condition well before anybody ever noticed or took notice. Let's go to our next slide. And as we do, we see this. David was a man after God's own heart before anyone even knew that he existed. And favorable or difficult circumstances don't cause character. They just simply what? They reveal it. When David is about to be thrust into this situation with Goliath, spoiler alert, that's next week, David and Goliath. David kills the giant. All right, I'm sorry. If you've never heard the story, come next week, okay? But if you have heard the story, you already know that in the story, David says, this ain't new to me. I've been doing things like this when nobody was around and nobody noticed. I was a nobody that nobody noticed. and God was doing something in me. And so when you're worried about me following through and winning this battle, I'm here to tell you I've already won this battle. And it started years and years ago as God poured out His Spirit upon me, as Paul read at the very end of that passage, as the Spirit of God from that day forward rushed in on David and made him a man that was different than just simply what you would see on the exterior. He made him into a new man, and it was a process of years, and yet David was there and ready because of what was already being done. And that difficult situation revealed the character he already had. Let's keep moving to our next slide. And as we do, we see this. Character is what you are in the dark. That's what D.L. Moody said. When nobody sees, nobody knows, and nobody listens, and even when your computer goes out, character is what you are in the dark. It is so important for us to grasp that. That's right. That's a band of the tornadoes and all that stuff that's coming. I'm kidding. No. So, but yeah, it is raining out there. That's what's kind of causing a little glitch. So if that happens, y'all hang with me. But this is so vital that no matter who sees, no matter if anyone ever sees, we must develop the character that God can use. And when we do, we're always amazed at how God continually gets the glory and how God continually changes situations that we touch because we have developed into men and women after God's own heart. Now, let's keep moving here about this second lesson that we learn. David served the man that he would later replace as king, and he did it well. This is so important. In this passage of Scripture, as you go a little further down in chapter 16, you see that David was actually pulled into Saul's service. And as he pulls him into the service because he's being tormented by an evil spirit, the Bible says that David would play the lyre and sing songs and psalms to him. And in the process, David, who already knows that he's been anointed to be the successor of the man that he's serving, is not serving him in a way to undermine him so he can get to the throne quicker. He's serving him as well as he possibly can to be a person who's being all that God would have him to be and saying, whenever it's time, God will make it known that I am to be the next king. I'm not going to elbow my way in and elbow my way to the front of the line. I'm not here to race to the front and get all the accolades. I'm here to serve and let God put me where He wants me when He wants me there. Now, think about this. How different is David's attitude than the attitude of our world this day? Can I get an amen? I mean, everybody is out there trying to find a way to make sure that whatever is being given, that I get the most. And if there's none left for any other person behind me, I'm sorry to hear that, but I'm here to get mine. And this is not David at all. He is anointed as the next, and yet he serves the current with all of his heart and with all of his soul. All that he possibly can do, he does. And then I just want to actually skip forward a couple of slides, if you don't mind. Let's go to slide number 27 there. And this is another don't miss this here. Wherever you think you are going, whatever you think you deserve, give your best today to what God has set before you this day. Your own highest reward is becoming the best version of yourself. We have lost in our world, and we have lost even among Christianity and Christians, the pride and the self-satisfaction that comes from saying, I gave it my all. Nobody noticed, nobody praised it, nobody patted me on the back, and nothing has come of it except for the fact that I have given my all to God and I've done all that He has set before me to the very best of my ability. And tomorrow I want to do the same thing again. For most of us, we are waiting for someone to pat us on the back to do the right thing and to do it consistently and give our best every day, when that is the very least that we, as God's followers, should be doing and wanting to do. So we all need desperately to stop listening for the applause of the crowd and start living to please the audience of one who alone can give us the applause that satisfies us in our very deepest soul. So real quickly, let's go to this third lesson that we learn, and that's on slide number 29. The next slide, if you don't mind. Thank you, Colin. Man sees the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. I know you've heard it at least seven times today in this passage of Scripture. It keeps getting repeated, but can I just share something with you? For you and for me to pursue other people, to value what God values in this world, is a fool's errand. I'm telling you, if you're waiting for this world to pat you on the back for doing the right thing and sacrificing your own needs and wants, that probably will never happen because it just simply does not make sense to them. Because man sees the outward appearance, but God looks on the what? The heart. And so if you are doing things that are pleasing God's heart, if you are remaking yourself into a woman or a man after God's own heart, don't expect for the world to give you a hand because they don't understand it. But just understand that one day as you stand before God, He will say, when no one was looking, you were doing the right thing. And when no one else cared, you cared to give your best. And whenever no one understood why you were making sacrifices, I know that you were giving those as sacrifices of praise and glory to me. And I want to tell you, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the rest of your master. You have been faithful over a few things, and I will now make you ruler over many things. This is the thing that we are living for. This is the thing that God wants us to put above all other things. And if you and I are pursuing a world to pat us on the back for being righteous, holy, and what He would have us to be, you're going to be waiting forever because that is not the world that we live in. And so I'm sharing with you today, don't pursue that path that will not ever reach the destination that you want. These are two parallel tracks, and one leads to God and one leads in the other direction. Man looks on the outward and God looks on the heart. Value first and foremost the heart. Very quickly, how do we apply this message? Here's how we apply this message. I promise it's coming. There it is. Look at your own life and what can you do today to change to, notice that word there, to be more. Not do more, but to be more. Because you and I are not called to be human doings. We are called to be human beings. It begins with who we are. It begins with what we are on the inside that nobody sees, nobody understands, nobody values, and yet God does. And then we begin to release the obsession with the externals. We begin to let it go and say, that is not going to bring me happiness anyway. And can I just share with you real quickly, before we go much further, just remember that you and I have all had moments where the external was something that we valued. And we realized, usually in a difficult way, it came back, it clapped back at us, and we found ourselves going, you know what? What was I even trying to do with that? Because I knew that that wasn't what was really, truly important. The problem is that our world is pulling us to look at the external and value that and promote that and all of these things, and yet none of that will bring you true satisfaction because man looks constantly on the outward appearance, and God looks on the heart. Now, I'm just going to tell you guys something. When I was younger, I was thinner. I had better hair than I have today. I had better skin than I had today. I was a better athlete than I am today. I can give you a long list of all of the things that I was better at when I was 20 than when I'm 50, or whatever I'm today. And if I had set my whole life up to be pleased because of being a better athlete and being more handsome and being skinnier and on 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 the list goes, and all of those things that are external, and look, Father Time is undefeated. Can I get an amen? I mean, it just is. And so when all that stuff faded, who was I on the inside? And suddenly all those things that were, fine, keep moving, you know, he's young, all of these things that were excused suddenly aren't excused anymore. And I am not excused, I am suddenly exposed to be less than I appear to be on the outside, on the inside. But on the other hand, if somewhere along the line and along the way, I decided that stuff does not matter, it is fleeting, it is fading. And when that stuff goes away, there will be people wondering who I am, what I am, the type of person that I am on the inside. When all of that stuff fades and falls, who and what is left? And is that something that I am proud of? And most importantly, is that something that the one who made me is proud of? Because man will always look on the outward appearance, and God will always care most about your heart. I told you last week that David had a heart condition, and that made him the man that he was. And I'm not talking about he had cholesterol. I'm not talking about any of that stuff. I'm talking about his heart condition was he was a man after God's own heart. So the question for you is, how's your heart condition? Are you a person who values this above this? Are you helping other people to value this above this? For most of us, with our children, with our spouses, with the things that we are doing with friends, we are much more complimentary about this than we ever, ever are about this. You see what I'm saying? So I again ask you, what is being revealed? What are you valuing? What are you saying and putting into the people that you are supposed to be pouring into? Are you valuing above all things this or this? Because God is the one who reveals what true meaning is. And God is the one who says, you think that's the guy, but that ain't the guy. This is all New Texas Version from 1 Samuel 16. He ain't the guy. He's tall, he's handsome, he's athletic. He looks like a warrior. He's even got the experience. But that's not what I'm looking for. Not any of these seven fit the bill. There's a young boy, literally a young boy, out there with the sheep that is a man already on the inside. And he is a man after my own heart. He's the one. Bring him in here. And the moment that David walks in, Samuel hears, says, David is the one. Anoint him. This is the man that will become the man that I can use. So I ask you, where is your value? And where is the condition today of your heart? Heavenly Father, please be with us. Lord, we live in a world that is desperately pulling us in the wrong directions. This is what we are constantly doing. We see the beautiful exterior and we think that we know what's happening on the inside, but yet, Lord, you constantly have revealed to all of us, if we will simply pay attention, that what the exterior is does not matter to you. It does not truly reveal. We cannot judge the book by its cover. We understand it, and yet we make the same mistake day after day, week after week, month after month. And we ourselves, people who know you and know your value and what you place worth on, Lord, it's hard for us to remember to walk away from the exterior and instead focus on the heart. But if you will help us today, Lord, you can use us in great and mighty ways. But first, Lord, move us in great and mighty ways and make us the people that give ourselves over to you and become the vessels that you can use in your service. In Jesus' name.